to Hebrews
11, and we'll read verses 5 through 13.
Six verses. Here we go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All right, now we talked this morning about faith, and we talked about a lot of the components of faith, because what we're doing is defining the just shall live by faith, what faith is. All right, now we left off that they were living in tents. All right, so faith makes this world a temporary sojourn. Verse 10, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So to be sustained in faith, we have to have a goal. Abraham just wasn't wandering around. He was after something. Now, what city was he after? Yeah, he was after the New Jerusalem. Where is the New Jerusalem today? Huh? Galatians, the third chapter, fourth chapter, tells us you've got to have a goal. You can't have faith that's tied to nothing. If you're going to be pressing on, you've got to have something that you're after. Abraham wasn't just staggering around. He was looking for something. Someone read Galatians 4, 26. All right, now where is the New Jerusalem?
Above.
It's in the spiritual realm. Where will it be after the end of the millennium? It's coming down to reside forever upon the new earth. All right, a city which has foundations, because Psalm 24:1 says what? Well, if we don't know, better read it. Someone crack the Bible and read Psalms 24:1. You should have this memorized. No excuse whatsoever. Memorize the 23rd Psalm, you should memorize the 24th Psalm. Get the context. All right, somebody read Psalm 24:1. All right, and verse 2. All right, now what kind of a foundation has God put everything on? So we're planning on building, so I'll be praying for us. We'll have to be, the most important part of a building is a foundation. Now, what if the engineers in the city inquired and says, what kind of a foundation? Yeah, we said we're building on the seas and on the floods. They're concerned enough about the floodplain. That would sink the ship in more ways than one. Finally, what kind of a builder would build anything on the seas and on the floods? What does that tell you about this world? You're born on a weak foundation. So what do you look for all your life? A city which has a foundation. And what is the foundation? Jesus Christ. So every person, let's put it this way, no person has his feet on the ground until he comes to Jesus. He may think he's on the ground, but he's not. He's on the flood. Because that's the way God made the world, and they who dwell therein is on the seas and on the floods. And it is not until we come to Jesus that we have a foundation. All right? Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Now here's a marvelous thing about faith. This ought to encourage everybody in the house. Because Sarah was not noteworthy for her faith. But she got in the Hall of Fame. Now let's see what she did to get in the Hall of Fame. So we turn, and boy, if you can't match this, all right, we go back to Genesis 17 and see what this woman did to get in the Hall of Fame. She did something, right? Well, let's see what it was. You know, we think these heroes of faith must have been something else, but Sarah was pretty ordinary. All right. And Abraham didn't exactly do much, because if you notice in Genesis chapter 17, now here's this woman. How old was she at this time? 90 years old or something, whatever she was. And in verse 16, God says, "And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And here she is barren and about 90 years old. And Abraham fell on his face and roared. The man of faith. The giant of faith. You could do that well. I could do that good. He didn't say, "Oh, verily saith the Lord, thus it shall be." He fell over on his face and laughed. He said, "This is ridiculous." So take heart. You know, some are getting discouraged about overcoming. "Oh, I can never overcome. Oh, God." Well, you can at least laugh when God tells you something. It doesn't take a whirlwind to please God. He knows our frailties. And Sarah and Abraham were no different from you and me. You can see that here. Isn't that a comforting thought? You know, we think that all these characters were something from another world. No, they were pretty human. And when you see the list of them, man, they were corkers. Jephthah, Rahab, Gideon. There's a pound of faith in the three of them. But they got in the Hall of Fame. And the Holy Spirit wrote the book, so we better pay notice. And I think he did that so that we could see that faith does not consist of some extraordinary group of heroes, but an awful lot of very, very ordinary people that somehow come out on top. I don't know if it's so much as they believe God, but because they didn't disbelieve God and refused to do what he said. That's about the size of it. All right. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man?" Now, how can Paul build a doctrine of justification by faith on this guy? He didn't believe God. He's full of questions. He could believe his seed to be as the stars of heaven, but when it came down to it, he waited so long, he says, "Forget it. This isn't going to work." And God said, "No, Sarah will be your wife." And so Abraham begins to cry for Ishmael. He says, "Well, let the thing that I built stand. At least it's something you can see." No, you're still coping with the promise, not with the work of your busy little hands. "This is something I'm going to do. It's invisible. And all I'm asking you to do is to just shut your mouth and listen and do what I say." And you know, the crazy thing of it is that what he was doing was a joyous thing. There was nothing, he must have reconstituted these people biologically. This wasn't a couple of long, drawn-out ascetics staggering around. These were ordinary people. You know what God did? He renewed their youth. He renewed their youth. Think of that. Think of that. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. That's great. That's all the people that are giving the trouble in the Middle East. You need to watch your prayers. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac. And then he goes on. I was trying to find the place. Oh, yeah, it's in the next chapter. Now, I want you to see the sterling faith of Sarah. If she wasn't a heroine and a giantess of faith, nobody was. So, chapter 18, Abraham was hospitable, if nothing else. So the Trinity came to visit him, and Abraham runs around, and he gets a calf out of the herd, and they cook it up. These people had patience in those days. Talk about going in a restaurant and saying, did they catch the fish yet? They got to stay for dinner. They went and got a calf. I mean, this is first-class Texas steak here. And curds and milk, which I don't care for. Myself, there's some that like it. I guess that's cottage cheese. And then in the ninth verse, comes the big question, where's your wife? You know, we just don't bring children out of the air around here. She had something to do also. And he said, she's in the tent. You know what she was doing in there, don't you? How many know what she was doing in the tent? No, she was eavesdropping. Oh, boy, you say the Bible isn't full of people. She wasn't in there praying like mad. Oh, God. She's trying to pick up a little fresh information. They didn't have telephones in them. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. I thought the guy's waiting for 25 years. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah broke out in an uproar. She couldn't quit. Laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure? Isn't that interesting? So human. So marvelous. So like God. My Lord being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? He didn't ask Abraham why he laughed. Sarah got picked on. Why did Sarah laugh? Notice he didn't ask Sarah. He asked Abraham. Why did Sarah laugh? Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh. Ooh, the big liar. Such a big one, she told. Huh? This is the heroine of faith. By faith, Sarah conceived. See? Oy. This is a big lie. She did laugh, but she was scared. She laughed because she was happy at the thought. She didn't. You know, there's an expression in the scripture, they believe not for joy. Believe not for joy. Isn't that marvelous? Huh? She believed not for joy. She was just so tickled, she laughed, and then she was scared silly because she wasn't used to dealing with God. And God rebuked her. I did not laugh, for she is afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Then the men rose up from there and looked towards Sodom. So, you see, I think we ought to take heart, saints. The Holy Spirit says, through faith, Sarah receives strength to conceive seed. But she didn't bear the child by a miracle. The miracle was that she received strength. And then the child was born naturally. Now the Bible says, if you wait on the Lord, He shall renew your youth. See, renew your strength, your power to walk. There's a lot. Imagine this under the old covenant. So Sarah, for all of her misgivings, something in there stuck in her mind, and she rallied up enough strength to believe God. The Holy Spirit, who knows her heart better than we do, says she receives strength to conceive seed. I wonder what went through that woman's mind. She's a pretty average person, if you stop to think about it. And there was a great deal at stake here. So any one of us, I think, can match that performance, don't you? I want to bring out two things in this verse. One, that Sarah was so common. She wasn't a wild lunatic. She wasn't a wild-eyed fanatic doing some great thing. She was an ordinary person who believed not for joy what the Lord told her. Don't you think that's marvelous? I think that's marvelous. Don't you think that gives hope for you and me? She didn't say, how will I challenge God? God told her what happened. She couldn't believe it. And God did it anyway. Praise the Lord. We could do that good, couldn't we? So everybody in this room can get in the who's who of faith. You don't have to dream up anything. Another thing I want to bring out to your attention is because I do preach hard all the time. I preach hard all the time because my life has been hard. The music, for example, that's just one instance. I wrote 16 or 17 original anthems, with the exception of one. I've never heard any of them. And that's just one instance. Little by little, God has taken away from me all the things that I enjoyed. I can't enjoy food because I got a metabolism you couldn't believe. If I looked at a donut, I gain a pound. I used to weigh nearly 200. So for the last 20 years, you know how I eat? Trying to see how little I can eat. Little by little. Books? The Lord says no more. My profession, Lord says no more. Classical music, no more. Inch by inch. And that's why I preach like I do. It's because I figure if I've got to suffer, you do too. But I'll tell you something for your joy. You don't have to listen to me that. Sadly. Because God's demands on people are quite different. See? Just because I gave up this or that or my profession or all my hobbies and whatever doesn't mean that you have to. God's, what should I say, intentions toward me have required this. For me to do what God has for me to do has necessitated a very difficult and a stern obedience to say no, no, no to almost everything that is natural to me. But that is not true with everyone. And there is no virtue in self-abuse. There is no virtue whatever. You don't earn anything that way. Not one thing. The point I'm trying to make is this. Abraham and Sarah were brought through a very hard place. But it did not last forever. And I know that in God's time, that He will restore to me everything that I have had to give up. I know that. It's not only Bible, but I know it personally. It was necessary because of the multitude of interests that I had and what I have had to do to trim everything off the stalk except one ear. But I know I have never, thank God, I've been fortunate that it hasn't probably warped me. But I am more full of joy tonight than you could shake a stick at, because I know that it has been necessary, and I know that God knows every decision, and every one is going to be rewarded. Now, if I'd have said, "Now I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to turn myself to God and forget everything I've ever wanted to do," there would have been no point, there would have been no blessing, there would have been no reward. Do you see what I'm saying? You cannot earn things. Grace and faith, and Pete's great on this, this isn't really my long suit, but you listen to Pete sometime when he goes through his cycle on the covenants, it's really terrific how that the covenant changes from time to time. But nonetheless, it seems to me that God's dealings with people are very individual. And what he'd say to you, all that you have to do is the thing that God tells you. And if God has some special kind of thing for you to do, then he will make special requirements upon you. But I can't even hardly get it in words. But the point is, these things that you give up are not for the purpose of earning anything. They are necessary to open certain doors. Does that say? I don't know if that says it or not. But if you have a certain pathway to go that is your unique pathway, and God comes down and he says, "Man, you're loaded with baggage here. I mean, you can't..." That year I wrote that music. I also wrote a secular book called The System of Approach to Instruction, which was published. I used to jog every morning for half an hour. What else went on that year? Well, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that went on in that one year. I can't think of them all. Oh, plus I started writing at that time. I don't know how in the world it lasted. But I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning and going all day and felt great. And Paul and Mary knew me in those days. But God took these things because you can't do everything, don't you see? There were certain doors that God wanted to open to me that were necessary for my life. And God says, "Look, you know, let this go, let this go, let this go, let this go." He didn't explain everything about it. He just let it go. And it was hard. It was hard to say no to your whole personality. But I'm beginning to get a glimpse of what God was after. And I know that's all going to be restored. But I'm not really... too much concern about it. What I'm glad to see is the rationale behind it, because it opened things for me that were not possible when I was doing all these other things. You see that? I'm saying all this for this reason. There are some in the church who are discouraged tonight and who get discouraged and some of it is due to my personal testimony and the intensity of what I preach. And I'm telling you what is behind that. It's nothing more than a human being lashing out because of the severity of God's demands on it. And that's all. The only thing that you have to go by is what the Bible says. And what I'm trying to show you is that this, what was done with Sarah, was a thing of joy. God did a thing of joy with her. She laughed because of... joy. She believed not for joy. And you remember the Bible says, "My yoke is easy." It is not hard. Men don't make it hard. Some of you are listening to me intently. You take my words and you weigh them, and that's good. But just remember, for all of the ravings of Brother Thompson, the burden of the Lord is light. If it's hard only for a purpose. Not because it's hard, but because the hardness is necessary to go through certain doors. And when God has brought you through those doors, he will restore, but more than that, you'll be lifted up into the place where God wants you. Do you follow that? I don't know if I'm making myself clear or not, but it's awfully important if we're going to have a healthy church. The way of the Lord is a way of joy. Now, the Lord, I think, was talking to me about that today. What God is looking for is people whom God wants to give much. Much. But what he cannot find is people who can control themselves. Because many times before we get what we want, we have to be willing to defer it. To defer it. To defer it. To defer it. You see? And what God has got is a church in which 90% of the people say, God wants me to be happy, but they can never stay with God long enough for God to make them happy. So they reach out and take what they want now, and God can't do a thing. See? How many know you cannot learn a musical instrument well unless you're willing to sacrifice time for years? Years! You cannot learn to be a championship swimmer. If you study about these youngsters at the Santa Clara Swim Club, for example, these young people in their teens give up their lives. They train for 8 hours a day. Everything they eat is everything. Their whole life, there's nothing normal whatsoever about their life. It is geared just to that last split second that makes a gold medal. Do you see what I mean? And so to obtain anything of worth, and this is what God was talking to me about today. If you're going to obtain something of worth in the kingdom, it has to do with what God wants for you, which answers to the desire of your heart. See, Abraham and Sarah wanted a child more than anything else. And that's what was denied to them. This was a terrible cross because he was so wealthy and his heir was going to be Eliezer of Damascus that wasn't even related to him, his steward. And this was a terrible thing. And it was an awful reproach upon Sarah. And the thing they wanted more than anything else was a son. Now, there are millions of people all around them who are having children, no problem, you know. You want another child, pray, you know, you conceive it. All that anybody else in that whole world had to do was say, dear God, I'd like a son, and odds are on, they'd have a son. Because God is good. You see, I probably won't make much sense tonight. Maybe when I listen to the tape, I'll understand what I'm saying. But the point is that God wants us to have the deepest desires of our heart. That's what God wants. Fret not yourself. Trust in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. You see? Well, what went wrong with Abraham and Sarah then? How come he would walk before God? Do God's will. Walk before God. And Sarah, I'm sure, was a devout woman, a woman of prayer. Their whole attitude was righteous, hospitable. They were good people in their lives. Didn't even have the law. Just good by faith, their nature of God. Why then didn't they have a child? Because God had a very unique and remarkable destiny for them. And in order for them to be the parable and the symbol that God wanted them to be, to bring forth all that God had in mind for them, he had to give them pain. But my point is this, it doesn't mean that everybody serves God by pain. Do you see? It was only because they were rarely privileged. And in time, they had their son. And what was he? The joy of his mother. The pride of his dad, and the seed through whom Messiah came. The heir of promise, the one who would be part of this, as the stars are, so shall thy seed be. It was because of God's unique opportunity. It was not because God is harsh. It was not because God takes pleasure in our pain. It was not because God wants a woe-begone people who think everybody can have fun except me. Is it beginning to, am I beginning to make any sense to myself? So here we have come along with the overcoming message, and I know how it comes across. Oh, God, I'll never make that in 100 million years. In the first place, I've got all these sins. I got all these desires, and this guy's wiping them out. I can't get married. I can't have any children. I can't follow any hobbies. I can't read any books. I can't do anything. Just while this guy yells and yells and yells, and what is his condition? That's not the Christian life. The Bible says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It says the commandment of the Lord is not grievous. It's not grievous. Well, you sure make it grievous. Well, yeah, I'm complaining, I suppose. Anybody's under pressure, they're apt to holler. Huh? But it's true. It's true that God wants to bring forth from a company of people in the earth power that this world has never witnessed before. As I live, saith the Lord, I will bring it forth. Power that this world has never seen, saints. The latter rain, the glory, the greater works, the truth, righteousness, hallelujah, in a day, saith the Lord, when the testimony is flickering and the lamp is going out. A day, saith the Lord, when I would show my glory and my might to the world and renew the testimony and renew the covenant. God wants to show His glory. God wants to do it. And in order to do it, He's got to find a people like you and me, just plain, ordinary people who don't know whether to laugh or cry, that God can discipline and defer, delay, confuse, bewilder, putting up with their murmurings and complainings, because He is going to open a door to us that has never been opened before in the history of man. We're going to be part of the two witnesses. We're going to command this world's attention by unprecedented glory. And it's not going to be done by some weird ascetics. It's going to be done just like ordinary stiffs, just like you and me. Confused, ladies that eavesdrop and laugh, men that laugh and don't eavesdrop, or maybe does, I don't know. Do you see? Faith is not sometimes what we think it is, as some hero going out and somehow getting the ability to believe when the rest of us can hardly stagger out of bed in the morning because of that. Our problems and our headaches and our bills and everything, our confusion and spiritual weakness and everything else. It's not that. It's ordinary people that God, according to His own wisdom and predestination, selected from the foundation of the world to do a peculiar work. And if that's so, then in order for God to open up to you the doors that will be open, He has to do things which are hard to take. But you would have the same thing if you set out to be the world's champion ballerina, or ice skater, or swimmer, or violinist. You would have to do the same thing. You would have to lay aside 90% of the pleasures, the little human things that other people do, and you would have to devote yourself night and day to the perfection of your art. Isn't that right? And you wouldn't say anything about it because you have a goal. See? You have a goal. Now that is true of us, and God wants us to see the goal, and the goal, God wants to restore truth in the earth. He wants to have a people that He can look down and say, now there's somebody that I can live with. When they want something, they don't go out and grab it, they come to me, and if I hold it off for 20 years, they stay with it. I can do something with them. And He will. He will. You say, but what about all the stuff I gave up? You'll get it back, but when you do, you'll have your eyes on bigger fish. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'm saying that to say this. The Christian life is not a harrowing experience in which you give up everything you ever wanted because God rejoices in your sadness of heart as though this is going to earn anything. It isn't going to earn anything. The thing to do is to cast about in your life and see if perchance you are trying to do things that God hasn't required. Or maybe you have set a standard for yourself that's too high and you can't live with it. Usually God's requirements are very wise, like don't smoke. This is for your good. You keep on smoking and you know what's going to happen? Every cold that comes around you'll get to, by the time you're 40, you'll have emphysema, you won't be able to walk upstairs. Now what joy is that? I mean, what blessing is that we have to smoke or drink? That's no good. But I'm talking about the ordinary, simple pleasures of life. You don't have to live like a monk. There's no virtue in it. We ought to be the happiest people on earth, even while God is training us for the end time race. Praise the Lord. And all that God wants of faith in us is to just do the thing that He told us, not the thing that He told Brother Thompson to do, but the thing that He told you to do. And if it isn't a joy, and if you don't find a little something during the week in which you give a little skip and you're just glad to be alive, odds are on good that you need to say to the Lord, how come when you said that thy burden is light that mine's so heavy? Now God understands English. And if God said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you're crushed like a grasshopper under the tread of a tractor, it isn't figuring. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So cast around and say, Lord, you know, I ought to be joyful. You said, my peace I give unto you. Joy, wonderful things that God has promised. So think about that. That's part of faith, too. What I'm trying to tell you is that God made Sarah happy. Huh? Praise the Lord. So unless we want sin, there's no reason in the world why God won't give us the desires of our heart. Unless the deferring of it is essential to some greater door that God wants to open. Praise the Lord. I'm tickled to death with Sarah. That just makes me happy. Because anybody that can't match that kind of faith has got to be going backwards. She received strength to conceive seed. She was delivered of a child. Do you think she was happy when this boy was born? If there was a happier woman in the whole world, I doubt it very seriously. I doubt very seriously whether there was a happier woman on the face of God's planet than Sarah when that boy was born. I'm sure that there was no other woman having a boy at that time that had quite the happiness that Sarah had. Praise the Lord. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you'll just do what God tells you to do, good things are on the way. It won't always be Brother Thompson raving at you. Somebody might come and tell you something happy. All right. She judged him faithful who had promised. I think so, because she is scared to do otherwise. Verse 12, therefore there sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now that's not bad for a woman that wanted a child. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. We've got to have a vision, and we're persuaded of them. Verse 13, you've got to be persuaded of them. You can't say, I believe there's a God and Jesus is his son, and then go your own way. You have to live by faith. And embrace them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You've got to say it with your mouth. Look, I am a stranger and a pilgrim around here. I'm a Christian. I'm going somewhere. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. So we never look back to the world. I'm not talking, of course, about looking back to the world. I'm not talking about backing up on our consecration. I'm talking about there should be joy in what we're doing. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now I'm sure that this is one of the verses that that tradition has worked around until we read the Bible that says the meek shall inherit heaven. I'm sure this is one of them, because it sure sounds like heaven is the goal, doesn't it? But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now how do we know, would you say from this that the goal of the Christian life is heaven? Now look at it again. They, the patriarchs, desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now that means our goal is heaven, right? How many know that means our goal is heaven? Nobody? Well, how come it doesn't mean that? Huh? Yeah, well, but you can see how the average person reading it would say, well, if anybody says that we're not going to heaven, that isn't where we're going. He's crazy in the head, because that's what it says. But let me show you something in connection with that. If you go over to the 39th verse, now let me ask you a question. Where is Abraham? Did he make heaven or not? Huh? How many say Abraham made heaven? Quite a few. The rest are not sure. How about Noah? Do you think he made heaven? How about Abel? How about Rahab? How about Sarah? Huh? How do you think Sarah went to heaven? Yeah. All right, but in verse 39, what does it say? They haven't received the promise, but they're in heaven. They have not received the promise. You see verse 39? They have not received the promise. So going to heaven is not the promise. And what does it say? God, having provided some better thing for us. Better than what? Yeah, he's talking about the new covenant. He's talking about the fact, I think, where Jesus said, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than the prophets. Again, and Jesus said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. God has given us so much more of a vision and so on. And we're not going to go into that tonight at all, but I just want you to see that if heaven were the goal of the Christian life, then that verse wouldn't make any sense. Go ahead. The station will resume after these messages. It won't last much longer. All right. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, again, I preached on that subject at length. I think that probably those of you that are fathers could get some small measure of what it meant to that man, 100 years old, to take his little boy by the hand, 12 years old, and walk for 3 days climbing that mountain with that little boy, and you know he must have loved him dearly. And to think of laying that child out on an altar on wood and ready to stab him through the heart and to light the fire. When he wanted that boy, when that boy represented to him not only his dear son, but also his lineage, his promise, you know, it must have made him wonder which voice was God's, the one that told him he was going to have a son, or the one that was telling him now to kill him, because it's contradictory. Perplexity. God has us deal with perplexity many times. So, well, which voice was God's? They're contradictory. See, God says, this is going to be your heir. Now he says, he's not going to grow up to be a man and get married at all. I'm going to take him. That contradicted what God told Abraham previously. Boy, we're not used to a God like that. We're not used to him saying one thing and then doing another. Man, this guy wasn't even born again. He didn't even have the Holy Spirit. And God put him through something we can scarce comprehend. I can't imagine what Sarah, I don't know if he even told Sarah. He probably told Sarah, I'm taking the boy and we're going on a camp out. We're going to see the mountain. I doubt if he told his wife. Maybe she wouldn't have been able to bear it. There's no record that he told her or that he didn't. There's no record that says that she knew how close she came to losing her son. So he had another burden. He didn't have anyone to share it with. He had to bear that alone and wonder what would happen when he come back and face Sarah and she said, where's my boy? I tell you, that man was a dead man on his feet. 100 years old. Older than that now. And all he believed God, down the tubes, he didn't know whether God was God or who he was, but a lifetime of training, and God grant that you and I get that way, is when God speaks, you go, if your heart is a stone within you, you took one foot in front of the other, and brother, you don't quit. That's the old Thompson talking. That's right. No matter what God says to you, you gird up the loins of your mind and you do it. I'm not talking about doing anything rash or foolish. I'm not talking about killing your child. I'm talking about God had brought this man to a place where he would have obeyed God no matter what God told him to do. That was a hard... God could have asked Abraham anything else. That was the worst thing he could have asked. There's nothing he could have said. He asked of Abraham the ultimate. The one thing that Abraham wanted more than anything else, and it didn't make sense, God said, I want it. There was probably 10 million fathers in the world with a son the same age. God never said to them, take your 12-year-old son and stab him and offer him up for a burnt offering. Just Abraham. You say, boy, you sound like you're back your old self again. But what I'm pointing out to you is this. That was the door toward an even greater joy. Can you imagine how Abraham felt when God spoke out of heaven? There's a note to me of surprise in God's voice there. You know, like God is saying, I can't believe this. I can't believe this guy. By myself have I sworn. Because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. They were cursed because God made a simple requirement of a little boy and girl in a garden with jam on their face. And God said, children, don't touch the tree. And they couldn't do it. And so the divine curse came down on everyone, man, beast, and plant. And now God takes a man and he doesn't say, don't eat of this little tree. He says, take your heart up and chew it in your teeth and spit it out. And the old man did it. God's, the contrast between Adam and Abraham is something else. And God says, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. I'm going to bless the whole world because of this thing. And not only that, but there just happens to be standing over in the bushes a ram. Why don't you sacrifice him? It'd be a better idea than slaying your son. How are you going to have the promise if you kill your son? What am I doing? Am I changeable? I don't want you to kill your son. What do you mean bringing your son up here? There's a ram up here is what I'm after, is that ram. So Abraham got his son back. But can you imagine how he felt coming down that hill? Oh, man, I'm sure he went up with his heart in his shoes, but when he came down, he was on hind's feet. And when he came to the tent, and Sarah said, where's my boy? I've missed him. And he says, here's your boy, mother. We had a good time on our hike. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So saints, listen. Take heart. There's glory ahead. And you may be trudging up the hill with your Isaac. Probably not anything like that, but each one of us on our own level. And God isn't asking you to give up everything and fry you like so much steak. God cares. And if he's asking something difficult of you, it's because he's going to open a great door for you. Otherwise, he won't waste his time in yours. He takes no pleasure in abusing people. You can't earn a nickel. It's only a means to glory. The requirement is only a means to glory. So if your life has become a bummer, it's maybe half my fault. I won't take any more responsibility than that. It may be half my fault, and it may be that it's been a long time since you got down before the Lord and said, Lord, you said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want it. And if I'm off and I'm causing my own confusion, because even in the trial, there's a deep sense that you're in God's will. And so there's a joy there. But if you feel tonight that maybe you don't know which direction you're going and you're just plain miserable, that's not the gospel of the kingdom. And maybe God has a word for you. Praise the Lord. And you get... turn your heart around and say, now, Lord, I'm going to expect great things tomorrow. I'm going to expect joy. I'm going to expect answer to prayer because I just refuse to be beat down. If I gotta, I gotta. But personally, I don't think so. And I'm certainly not going to try to do Brother Thompson's thing. I'm going to do my own thing. And I can sure laugh like Sarah. So how about it, Lord? How about a little joy along the way? Now, does that sound like a good idea? Maybe some of us are ready for that. So, praise the Lord. Jesus, Lord, we know that you were a man of tremendous joy. Lord, no one was treated worse than you. Hallelujah. Oh, the doors that God will open. Hallelujah. The doors that the Lord wants to open for his people. Hallelujah. Oh, how we should be rejoicing and praising the Lord. Because he wants to open us unto us an effectual door. Praise your righteous name. Oh, hallelujah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his children praise him and sing songs unto him. Yea, saith the Lord, the morning stars shout for joy. Because God doeth a good thing. He doeth a good thing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise the Lord. And God would have a strong people, a mighty people, a people who can be stern in obedience, but who know the Lord
and who have their eyes on the joy of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We do rejoice in you, Lord. It is the great way. It is the King's highway. Hallelujah, Lord. And we know we're only in training, Lord, until we're fit and have the capacity, Lord, to assimilate the joy and the dominion and the fruitfulness that you want to give to us. Hallelujah, Lord. We know that all good things, Lord, you said no good thing will you withhold from them who walk uprightly, Lord. It's been true throughout the ages. No good thing. Lord, you said if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And Lord, we believe that tonight. Lord, we will not be a beat down people. We will not be, Lord. We give you glory. And we rise up, Lord, and the past is over and gone. Hallelujah, Lord. And we sense healing, and we sense joy, and we sense new direction, Lord. We sense a corner turned, and a release unto glory, and a fruitfulness and a dominion, Lord, because of what you have required. Hallelujah. Lord, we know the requirement is only so that we could make it, Lord. Not, Lord, that you enjoy seeing us abused, but because it's necessary if we would dance in the heights of Zion. Oh, God, we praise you for every problem we've ever had, because we know it's going to work out in glory. And, Lord, whatever we've given to you, we know will be returned with a handsome profit. Lord, not that we'll do it for the profit, but we know that it's God's way, because you're a king, Lord, and we cannot give to the greatest king of all. How can we give to a king? Lord, all you do is say, let me take your rags that I may robe you in royal splendor. To shine as the sun, to shine as the stars above. Oh, God, you've called us to the very throne of glory, to greater works, to higher heights than the saints have walked yet. You said, Lord, many that are last shall be first in the kingdom. So, Lord, we can expect the attention of your trainers, of the angels, Lord, whose job is to teach us and train us so that we may be able to walk with a giant step in the land. God, you want people who can shake this world. Hallelujah, can say, thus saith the Lord. And it will come to pass. A people of stern diligence, but a singing heart. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord. There may be some among us, Lord, who, Lord, because of the intensity of the message, have lost sight of the joy, have lost sight of the goal of the city which has foundations, Lord, and the Christian life looks to them like a pretty drab situation, Lord. That they're missing every joy. They can't have this and they can't have that, Lord. We know that's the farthest thing from your mind, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We pray that this night there'll be a restoration. Hallelujah. No one will leave this church with that feeling. They'll realize that they're being trained, Lord. They've been selected. They've been chosen, Lord, to be among your strong people, your army, your saints, Lord, who are going to inherit all things. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for every pain, every lesson, Lord, because we know it will have an increment of glory we couldn't even understand, Lord, at this time. Well, I know that's true, Lord, from the Word. Hallelujah, I know it's true. God, I feel impressed tonight that we need to realize the joy that Sarah experienced, the joy of faith. We have need of patience. After we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise, Lord. We're talking tonight about the promise of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for the people of this church that have listened, Lord, so patiently over the last 6 years, Lord, and have borne with the message. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all of us that you've called to this place, Lord, that we might abide under the rigors, Lord, of the cross. But, Lord, we must remember that Jesus suffered a bit, but now he has all authority in heaven and upon the earth. And he is not morose. Lord, He is a King beyond all imaginations of any king. And He's full of joy and full of glory and full of power and full of dominion. The suffering was so brief compared to the reign of glory. So terrible, Lord, we couldn't bear it. But Lord, we know if we're faithful in our frame, that very soon now, Lord, we'll be walking in a strength and a glory that we scarce can dream of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. While we're in prayer, if there's anyone that feels particularly morose tonight, it's a Christian way as I presented it has become, and not necessarily my fault, but you just feel whatever has become a conglomeration of doubts and fears and deprivation of everything you have ever wanted. Why don't you come up? We're going to pray for you tonight. I just want you to stand here before the altar, and the congregation and I will pray that God will bless you out of your socks. I want everyone up here that's in this condition right now, in this little family, that's in your condition and you feel that's about time you had a little goal to work with. I want you to come up and we're going to pray that God, by a miracle, will give you something to hope for and refurbish your soul with joy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want to wait. I want you to come up here. Be obedient. Praise the Lord. You know, obedience is part of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Just spread out because there's more coming up. Spread from wall to wall. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray that God will give you glory. Don't have to kneel down. I want you to stand up. We kneeled down last week. This week we stand up. Praise the Lord. And God wants you to have some glory in your soul. Anybody else, if there's anybody here, get yourself up here and be obedient to the preacher. Hallelujah. So that God can honor my prayers and all of our prayers, and that I'm going to pray that God will do a miracle for you and He'll give you a hope and a joy you've never had in your life. Amen. So if you feel that the need and you're a candidate and it's been particularly oppressive and a little short of the goal, the Christian life's become one deprivation of everything you wanted after another, and you need to see the joy. Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before Him. And if you can't see it, you're not going to last. You're fast, but you won't last. Now get yourself up here if you need a prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad that's all that are suffering in the church. Hallelujah. That's a comfort to know that. Don't worry about it or think about it. Get on your feet and get up here. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, you can't get people to suffer and you can't get them to rejoice either. It's a fright. All right, Kathy, come over here and stand next to this young man here and the rest so we have a line here. All right. Praise the Lord. And I like those who will just come up and stand behind him and all the congregation praying that God will give these people a miracle of joy. I know the message we preach is tough, but there's no need for it to be that toughness. It's not God's will that people mope around. The joy of the Lord is our strength, saints. And like the priest said, this is not a time to be weeping. It's a time to eat the fat and drink the sweet and rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm bound and determined to be happy. Hallelujah! Ah, glory to God! Well, let's pray. If you want to stand and pray or hold your hands out toward these people, maybe something will get on you. Who knows? Hallelujah! Oh, mighty God, Thou art the giver of every good and perfect gift, Lord. Oh, You made Abraham deliriously happy, Lord. You made Sarah so happy she didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Oh, God, You do nothing but good to people. Hallelujah, You're a God of joy and of peace and of power and of glory and of victory and of every blessed thing that ever happened in this world, Lord. Hallelujah, how can we be downcast, Lord God, when Thou hast given unto us the keys of the kingdom? Hallelujah, Lord, we're blessed beyond all people upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah, Lord, and all You're doing is training us for our good. and opening up doors, Lord, so that we be able to receive the blessing. Hallelujah. We're just made emptying up our cup so that it can be filled up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we pray for our sister. Hallelujah, Lord, do a miracle. Lord, she's been through much and she's suffered much. And Lord, you know all about it. And Lord, we pray tonight you'll do a miracle. A miracle. A miracle. A miracle. Hallelujah, that you'll put joy into her and give her a vision that she's never had. Give her a vision of the joy of the Lord. Give her a vision of the ministry that you have for her. Give her a vision of the glory that the saints walked in, that Elijah walked in. Hallelujah. Oh, God, clothe her with fire and with glory and with joy. Cause her, Lord, to see the land that is very far off. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Fill her spirit with joy, a spirit of joy in the name of Jesus. Lord, hallelujah, that will give her strength that she's never known. And a clearer vision, Lord, hallelujah, of the glory toward which we're marching, the glory of the sons of God. Oh, hallelujah, help her to understand, Lord, that every trial, every tribulation, every pain, Lord, hallelujah, is just the currency of heaven. Oh, God, and she's going to be wealthy one of these days. Hallelujah, the things of God, hallelujah, that money cannot buy. Praise your name, Lord, we give you praise. Lord, our sister has suffered much, Lord. But, oh, God, already we can see the glory coming forth, Lord. We can see the wisdom of God. We can see the calling of God. We can see the purpose of God. We praise you, Lord, for the blessing that's on our sister. Now, Lord, we pray there'll come, Lord, a time of great joy and a great rejoicing. And deep within her spirit, Lord, the prayer wheel will begin to turn. Lord, from this night we ask a miracle, Lord. We ask that you will give her joy, Lord. Even when she cannot understand, it will come bubbling up, Lord, from the artesian well of her being. Peace that passes understanding. A certain knowledge that God is with her, and she is a daughter of the King. God reward her, Lord, and cause her to see that glory, that joy that David knew, that Jesus knew, that the prophets knew. Oh, God, cause her to walk in the glory of the people of the Lord, the Israel of God. Oh, that she might go up and keep holy day, Lord. Hallelujah, singing songs with the pilgrims on their way to Zion, Lord. Oh, there's no joy like that joy. Oh, God, cause her to sing. Give her a singing heart, Lord. And a rejoicing spirit that you'll know, Lord, that all that has happened to her is going to turn out for glory and joy, and she shall yet praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, with joy and great rejoicing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, we pray for Ron tonight. Lord, hallelujah. We ask for a miracle. We ask you to touch him, Lord. Release him from everything that would cling to him. Release him from every work of Satan. Release him from all the work of the enemy that would try to draw him back. Release him, Lord, and give him a touch of thy eternal glory and thy joy. Give him a joy, Lord, the joy of the Lord. So he'll not be thinking, Lord, about what he's missing, but what he's getting, Lord. Hallelujah, let this light be clear. Throw thy lamp on his feet, Lord. Make the pathway clear to him. Cause him to know, hallelujah, that God is God, Lord. Bring him out of darkness into thy marvelous light. Give him peace, Lord. Provide his material needs. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, let your presence be in his home, Lord. Just take out everything that is not of thee. Cause his home to be holy, righteous, filled with glory. That he will realize, Lord, what it means to be a part of the Israel of God. The happiest people on earth, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The one people on earth, Lord, that have peace. But not only that, Lord, that know the joys of God. That know the hidden wonders, Lord, of the deep. Hallelujah, his bow goes over the wall. God, hallelujah, anoint his path and cause him to walk, Lord, among the saints. Blessed be thy holy name. Joy, we pray, miracle joy. Hallelujah, Lord, we pray for Kathy, Lord. Hallelujah, we thank you, Lord, for thy handmaid. Now, Lord, we pray you'll do a special work in our heart tonight, Lord. Lord, she's in need of joy, she's in need of peace, and she's in need of direction. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for direction. God, we know that your pathway is attendant with joy. We know, Lord, that as she finds the way you would have her to go, Lord, she's going to find joy, she's going to find peace, and you are going to reveal yourself to her, Lord. Hallelujah. She's not a child anymore, Lord. You're having her come, Lord, to maturity as an adult, Lord.
Lord, she's heard about you with the hearing of her ears. And we pray, Lord, that you will meet her, Jesus. Lord, she needs to hear your voice. She needs to feel your nail-pierced hand. She needs to know the Jesus of the Bible. Hallelujah, Lord. And she needs to know your plan for her life so that she can set her sail, Lord, in your direction. Now, God, we pray that she'll, every worrisome thought will be lifted. All that is not of God will be lifted. Every doubt will be lifted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, God, give her, Lord, the desire of her heart, Lord. Lord, make yourself real to her and cause her to joy and rejoice, Lord. Hallelujah. We ask for wisdom. We ask, Lord, till we commit together as a church. We commit Kathy's way before you. We commit her way before you, Lord. You said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And Lord, we acknowledge it. We don't figure it out, Lord. We just ask for miracle joy, miracle peace, miracle direction, miracle wisdom. Hallelujah, Lord. I don't know what you have for her, Lord. But I do know that when she finds what it is, that you'll rejoice, Lord, till they won't be able to keep her feet on the ground. Lord, she needs to know what it is you want. And I pray, Lord, you'll lift from her all the confusion and the things that are weighing her down. You'll make her heart as light as a bird. And Lord, you will show her what it is that's in her heart, Lord. I don't think she knows. Lord, show her what's in her heart. Show her what it is she wants. Not the duty, not the ought-tos, but where the calling is, Lord. What it is that she wants. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and when she finds it out, give her a prayer for it, Lord, that you may bring it to pass. So that her way will be filled with joy and she'll be full of energy, power, life, health, and wisdom. It's time, Lord. It's time to lift this young lady up and not tire. It's time, Jesus, for her to know what her calling is, where the joy is, where the hope is, where the desire is, Lord. Oh, God, I can't portray to people the thing you set before me, Lord. I know it, but they don't know it. But, Lord, there's something you set before them. Lord, and Kathy needs to know that. She needs to see her city, her calling. God, she needs that joy. Oh, hallelujah, the joy that comes from hope. Hallelujah. Cause her, Lord, to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. I feel you've heard us. I feel you've heard us for Kathy Borden. Lord, and you're going to answer prayer because we're concerned about you. We're concerned that she have hope, Lord. Be able to laugh and sing and dance in the heights of Zion, Lord. And know the joy that your people know, not the things that we give up, but the doors that are open. Hallelujah. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, Lord, I pray that Kathy will be one of the mighty, Lord, that passing through the valley of Baca, make it a pool. Lord, that she will know the ways of God and appear before God in Zion. Now, Lord, I believe that's her calling, and I pray you will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. You will lift her up as your handmaid and cause her, Lord, to be joyful in whatever you have for her. Lord, that she'll know the joy that has caused people to leave all and follow Jesus. I think all she sees now, Lord, is just following Jesus. She doesn't see what makes people do that. And I pray, Lord, you'll show her why it is that people do the things that they do. You realize, Lord, once you get a sight of that thing, Lord, once she gets sight of it, Lord, hallelujah, she'll understand. So we pray that for her. And keep her in the meanwhile, Lord, that she'll enjoy herself. Hallelujah, Lord. Your burden is easy. Your yoke is easy. And your burden is light. Let it be true for Kathy in every respect. Hallelujah. Physically, spiritually, educationally, everywhere. A light burden. An easy yoke. And we believe you. We ask it in faith. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We come for our brother, Lord. Hallelujah. He loves you, Lord. He's come into a place, Lord, where you're dealing out the meat of the word at times. Lord, we know this can be a heavy word. We pray, Lord, that you will just feed him, Lord, and that he'll just see the part that's for him. And to realize, Lord, we walk every day in our path, Lord. Hallelujah. It's a step at a time, and it's a joyous way. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, you said, my peace I give unto you. Lord, you're a man of joy. Your way was full of joy. Joy that overcomes the world. Joy. that kept you awake praying all night, Lord. That joy, Lord, not praying to earn the presence of God, but joy because it's too much fun to go to sleep, Lord. Oh, God, give them a touch of that, Lord, that has caused men to go to the mission field, Lord, lay down their lives because they are following that joy, Lord, that only thy saints know. Show them that joy. Show them why it is we can lay down everything and yet march on to be happy, Lord. Hallelujah. Give them a taste. Lord, he's come up here and I pray for a miracle. I pray that this man will be noted for his joy, that he'll be noted for his peace. He'll be noted for his insight into God's person. Hallelujah. Illumine his mind with the word and give him insight, Lord, into your person. That he will seize and not be taken aside, Lord, by any light wind, but he will be one of those, Lord, who makes it successfully through, Lord, that you can season him as a saint, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless him, his wife, his home, but all that is his. Bless him with the blessing of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name and invoke upon him a blessing. That he may be of the Israel of God. Among thy circumcised, Lord. Circumcised in heart. The new creation, Lord. The new creation. Make it true, Lord. Cause him to know God. Cause him to know God. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. We treasure that knowledge, Lord. Hallelujah. We pray for Diane, Lord. She stood when her husband was away at sea. She's standing now, Lord. And she's come up here, Lord, because she wants to see why. Why it is, Lord, that we can't go out and hop around in the world. What there is in it, Lord. And Lord, you've guided your saints with a vision. They had a vision of a city. They had a vision of joy, of glory. Something that gives strength to the limbs and hope to the mind. A song to the lips, Lord. And we pray for that miracle for Diane tonight, Lord. Somehow, Lord, give her a vision of that which is right for her. Lord, so that you'll see that the Christian life is not just a way of discipline, Lord, but it's an adventure. And it's the opening of doors, and everything we give up that's necessary, Lord, is only to make us so that we can go through another door. A door that leads into the place that leads finally to the deepest and truest desire of our heart. Hallelujah. And I pray for her, Lord, as I pray for Kathy, the same thing, Lord. Show her the desire of her heart. Show her, Lord, what it is. Lord, that desire came from you. Because you said he gives us. It is God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we pray, Lord, you'll see that which you desire, Lord, is your desire. Now, Lord, help her to see that what you ask of her is so that she can have that desire. Praise your name. Lord, connect the two, the cause and the effect. And give a clear vision. We pray for a miracle vision. We pray for a miracle vision of the Lord. She served you patiently in obedience to her parents, to her husband. Now, Lord, I pray like Sarah Lowe, you will speak to her, Lord. And she'll know you for herself. And you'll make her happy and joyful, delirious with joy. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Lord, you add no sorrow with it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Weeping endures for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And God, give Diane a glimpse of the morning. A glimpse of the morning so that she can endure, Lord, what needs to be endured. But not, sadly, Lord, not seeing what she's giving up. Always looking toward the glory. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures. I pray for a miracle. She will see the pleasures that are at the right hand of God. Oh God, a coal from the altar for Diane's night. A coal from off the altar of God. That you'll feel, Lord, that energy that causes the cherubim to sing holy, holy, holy. The seraphim to rejoice before the Ancient of Days. All the elders to cast down their crowns. Holy, holy, holy. Because they felt the joy, the fire of the living God. It's time, Lord, for Diane. It's time for her to see the Holy One of Israel. The one that has cast his cloak over her. The one that has called her out from this world and said, my daughter be mine. Let my holiness be upon her. Draw nigh unto me and I'll give you to the sires of God. Lord, help her to see that the trials of life look halfway to the desires of her heart and the rest is bondage. Hallelujah. Oh God, for miracle joy, let her not be the same from this night on. We ask in faith in Jesus' name, not in doubt. And a joy and a clear vision of the soul. Hallelujah. 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 Are you getting ready for it here? Praise the Lord. We come to you for Margaret. Thank you, Lord, for the saints. Thank you for those, Lord, whom you have anointed. Praise your name. Whom you have anointed, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that they might serve you. Thank you, Lord, for those whom you have anointed. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah, Lord. Those that hold steady. Those that do the will of God, we pray. Now, Lord, we pray for joy. We pray for a clear insight, Lord, into your will. And a clear understanding, Lord, that you have not called us unto grief. Lord, you didn't come to make us miserable, Lord. Lord, you came to give us life and that, Lord, abundantly. And help Margaret to see that what she has heard for 6 years, Lord, is not a deprivation of that which an ordinary person could have. Lord, but is that which you require of those to whom you wish to give the kingdom? Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we pray that there'll be a miracle that you'll be able to see, Lord, the relationship. And Lord, we know that there are desires here. We know there are things that you have planned, callings. And Lord, that we pray they'll be made known. Hallelujah, that Martha will know that the things that are happening are not random. Hallelujah, they're not a dull, boring Christian life, but they're very carefully orchestrated, very carefully planned, detail by detail, moment by moment, Lord. Hallelujah, that she might be able one day, as did Sarah, Lord, as she was prepared, Lord, for the wonderful thing, never dreaming, Lord, the glory that you had in store. Never for one moment did she dream, but Lord, carefully prepared for all those years. And Lord, we know the way of the saint, Lord, is the way of discipline. But oh, God, let my end be like his, Balaam said. May my end be like his. For Balaam's wasn't, Lord, but Margaret's will be. Hallelujah, because she is abiding as a saint. Bless her household, her husband, her children, her mother, Lord, the whole family, Lord. Bless them all. Richly, the riches of God. Hallelujah. That in due time, Lord, you might see and understand why. For now, we pray for a miracle vision. Lord, that she might go up. Lord, with singing. To keep holy day, O God. Oh, cause us to go, Lord, with those that sing songs in the night. And pilgrimage to the house of the Lord. Make us joyful, Lord, with thy pilgrims. Hallelujah. That we may realize, Lord, that our whole life is a pilgrimage. And Lord, there's joy along the way. Enough to keep us singing. But the greatest is yet ahead. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the flowers along the way. Lord, we thank you for the blessings along the way. Hallelujah. And the glory of God. Oh, thou art good. God is good to them that are of clean heart. Hallelujah. They'll walk in a fruitful place. Hallelujah. They'll walk in joy and rejoicing. Miracle joy, we pray. And the accompanying strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let her never be the same in this month. Hallelujah. Let her grasp the joy of the God of Israel. Hallelujah. There's none like you, O Lord. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We pray for our sister, Lord. Hallelujah. Confusing walk, Lord. We're so long wondering, perplexities, Lord. Wondering, where is the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, there must be a lightness here, Lord. I pray, hallelujah, Lord, that you will show our sister, Lord. Hallelujah. Not necessarily explaining everything all at once, Lord, but the pathway, Lord. Hallelujah, that you'll know that God never slumbers nor sleeps. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Hallelujah. Lord, you know her goings out and her comings in, Lord. You know the details. You know every little cry in the night, Lord. You know the doubts and fears, Lord. You know everything that's going on in this heart of mine. Blessed be your holy name. Now, Lord, we just pray, Lord. This is a time and night for rejoicing. Lord, this is a time when you have commanded joy and a fuller vision. And, Lord, we just pray that our sister will partake. She's come up in obedience, Lord. She's come up, Lord, and said, God, I need a clear vision. I need to have the joy of the Lord. I need to see where I'm going, Lord. And to get that vision of the patriarchs of old, Lord, of the city which has foundations. Oh, God, we pray. Lord, that the load will be lifted long enough for her to get a fresh glimpse. Hallelujah, Lord. So that when it's put on again, Lord, she knows She knows that it'll never be the same, Lord,
yes.
Because she sees now that God has been in these things, and God is leading, God is faithful, God never changes. God knows her prayers, her hopes, her dreams, Lord, the disappointments, the embarrassments, and all that are going on, Lord. Now, you know everyone. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, the righteous will be blessed. They will be blessed. Hallelujah, Lord. We see those in the world, Lord, growing fat, Lord. We see them having all their heart could desire, Lord. And we envy them until we go into the sanctuary of the Lord. And then we realize how foolish we were as a beast before you. Oh, God, you have made us to rejoice more than the time that they're pouring their wine in peace. Hallelujah. You have given us songs in the night season. Lord, you have given us hope and cheer that the world can't take away. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we pray for miracle peace and miracle joy. We pray for a miracle vision. That our sister will get a glimpse of God and of Zion and of the hope that is set before us, Lord, that she'll never forget. And it will put that iron in her, Lord, with the saints. No. That they march on through thick and thin, fasting, prayers, privations, and pound and laugh at it. Because they see the glory. They see him who is the sister. Be real to my sister. Cause her to know the Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus, her Savior. She's never known him. We ask this. Faith, nothing doubting. She will see the man of Galilee and know him. Know that Jesus is with her. She is his daughter. And that he will never leave her. Hallelujah. Because he's been now preparing the table for her in the presence of her enemies. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me pray? Praise the Lord. Jesus, we come to you for our brother, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the skills and wisdom of ministry that you have put in stand. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for the discipline and the experience that's gone into his life, Lord, that has brought him to this place. Lord, we know that he is desirous of serving you, Lord, in a moment, Lord. He'd leave all and serve you, Lord. His consecration is sure. Now, Lord, we just praise you and we pray, Lord, that he will see you, Lord, the God of Israel. He'll know you, Lord. There'll be a clear vision and a clear verdict. Surround him and protect him, Lord. Then he'll move, Lord, with poise, and he'll move in God's timing. Lord, I know that you have